Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, before we start this next piece, a warning that some listeners may find the details in the case we're about to discuss upsetting. The jury in the trial of Dublin firefighter Terence Crosby is due to begin its third day of deliberations later in Boston. He stands accused of raping a 29-year-old woman in a hotel room in the city on the 14th of March last year. Terence Crosby was in the States to take part in the St. Patrick's Day parade with members of the Dublin Fire Brigade, but was arrested as he attempted to leave the country after the alleged assault took place. Susan Zalkind is Boston-based crime journalist who has been reporting on the trial for the Irish Times, and Susan joins us now. Hello, Susan.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for being with us. I know you've been in court for the duration of this trial. Two very different accounts of what happened on that night have been given in that courtroom. Can you tell us what emerged in court during the course of the trial? Take us through it.
Yes. Yeah, so the complainant is a 29-year-old attorney. She says she hosted a legal event earlier in the day, went out for colleagues, and she ended up at the Black Rose Bar in downtown Boston. It's an establishment that we here would call an Irish bar in Boston. So both sides agree with that. There was the young woman was at the bar, and then there was a group of firefighters from the Dublin Fire Brigade who are at this bar as well. Now, she says she met a man named Liam O'Brien, who she hit it off with at the bar. She went home with him or to the hotel, the Omni Parker Hotel, that night, and they had consensual sex. She says she did not know he had a roommate at the hotel, that she fell asleep in a separate bed from Mr. O'Brien. He was spread out. He was snoring, she said, and that she woke up to a man she did not know actively raping her. She says that this man clearly was not Liam O'Brien and that he was disparaging Mr. O'Brien's, telling her that she wanted it, essentially, and that Mr. O'Brien was incapable in some way. The word she first used was pathetic. Later, she said he called him a loser. She says she managed to escape the situation, ran out of the hotel. She texted a friend as she was leaving. She went home and she immediately went to hospital, bringing her clothes with her. And reported an assault. And she submitted to a test as well there, too.
So that's her account. So what account of the events of that night was given by Terence Crosby in his defence?
So he has a very different story. He says that he met the woman at the bar briefly, that he went to the hotel and he left when Mr. O'Brien and the woman came back. He said he waited outside in the hall for 2 hours. And when he came in, he knocked on the door, no one responded. And he says there was no one in his bed, right? It's a bit of a Goldilocks story. She says she was in the bed, there was a stranger there. He says there was no one there at all, but after about a minute and a half, he did hear a woman get up and leave the hotel room. He said he had no physical contact with her at all, and he didn't speak to her that evening. Now, a lot of the argument here comes down to the DNA test. So the woman submitted to a test. Two male profiles were found on the complainant. One of them is that of Mr. O'Brien, but there was not enough DNA to identify the second male contributor. So the defense has been very keen to harp that Mr. Crosby was not identified, right? Mr. Crosby and the complainant have both taken the stand in this case. We've heard from Mr. Crosby twice, denying again and again that he did it, that he touched her in any way. And the defense has been able to make an argument, essentially, that this woman is not a reliable source of information. She's not, her account is not reliable in any way.
Mm-hmm. And in making that argument, the defense have spoken about the fact that she had an elevated alcohol level on that night.
Exactly. So in this case is a little unusual in that in most rape cases, the defense wouldn't want to argue that the complainant is inebriated because one could then argue that she was too inebriated to consent. That's not the case here. She says she consented to having intercourse with Mr. O'Brien. She had her wits about her, But the defense says that her alcohol level, by the time she reported the assault the next morning, was still very elevated, well over the legal driving limit. They called in an expert that said at the time of the assault, it could have been more than twice over the legal driving limit here in Massachusetts. And there are gaps in her account, which law enforcement officers on the stand have admitted to as well. She said she never met Mr. Crosby. There's video of her meeting him at the bar, in the hotel. And she can't remember, when she first reports the assault, she can't remember not only meeting Mr. Crosby, but the name of Mr. O'Brien, his first last name either.
Mm-hmm. Susan, the jury, as I mentioned, is due to return later today to continue their deliberations. Can you just tell us about the makeup of the jury and whether they need to come to a unanimous decision on this case?
So it's a jury of 8 men and 4 women. They do have to come to a unanimous decision. The case is being held at the Suffolk Superior Courthouse in downtown Boston, very near to where the alleged assault occurred. And they're on about their 11th hour of deliberation at this point.
Okay, and we will keep an eye on that case. As I know, Susan, you will be in your reporting for the Irish Times. That's Susan Zollkind, who has been reporting on that case, the trial of Terence Crosby. And if you've been affected by anything you heard in that report, you can find help at rte.ie/helplines.